Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
Never filtered. Always fun.
He does his signing and walks right to the tables and dumps it right back into the casino.
For sure.
I'm surprised they don't have a blackjack table backed into his little booth so he can just spin around, play a hand, and then spin around and sign.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Big night in the sports world. We got Game 7 down in Tampa. We'll tee it up throughout the hour. Bob McKenzie will join us at 6:25. Game 5 in Boston between the Cavs and the Celtics. Carlos Boozer coming up here in a moment. Longtime NBAer and a member of the new 3-on-3 league, Big 3. And he'll join us. He's got a podcast out. He's a podcast guy. Bobby Mack's a podcast guy.
Yeah.
That kind of an hour. So we're looking forward to him.
We kind of have a podcast, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, we're live radio, but you can find everything podcasted on iTunes or through the TSN1050.ca website. Check it out.
That's a thing.
Check it out.
We get a lot of podcast people who send notes like 2 days later.
Man, did I have people today going at me about the cup isn't the toughest trophy to win anymore if Vegas ends up winning it.
You had podcast guy attacking you?
Oh, dude, I'm getting private messages, and I'm getting tweets sent at me and on Instagram, and just people detailing why it is the most difficult trophy to win.
Maybe you should read one of those.
You could also say, I was wrong.
I don't think I am.
If Vegas wins, that's what you believe. If they don't win, maybe it is the toughest trophy, the most elusive trophy out there.
I guess what I've always... I'm a crusader against cliches, right? Like, I try to fight the cliche, and it's always been just accepted that it's the toughest trophy to win, but it's not based on anything. I'm not saying that it necessarily isn't, but it's like every hockey player is like, oh, it's the toughest to win. Okay, you've tried to win a Super Bowl, so you would know?
What's the easiest trophy in pro sports to win?
I don't know.
Would it be the
Super Bowl?
Would it be the Grey Cup? Because of the amount of teams?
Probably the Grey Cup. There's 9 teams.
Right.
That's probably the Grey Cup.
That's what I was thinking.
But the NFL, like, they only have, 12 teams make the playoffs? 12 of 32. The NHL, 16 of 31 get in.
Well, yeah. So it used to be 16 of 21.
Right.
Some say the Memorial Cup is a tough trophy to win because you're only there for 3 years and there's cycles of good, bad.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go to a team and get it right.
It's all got to connect.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. You got to get through your league and then you've got to beat everybody else.
I think your boy Tux, didn't he win like 3?
Oh, just
and
ask
believe
him.
Me, yeah, he'll just let you know. He used to yell at people on the ice. How many Memorial Cups you won? And we were like, we're in the NHL. Who cares?
I like that joke.
I remember he's
listening to that right now.
I love that joke.
I love Tux too, but I remember him saying allegedly. He didn't say it to me, but he said it to other players, and guys are like, yeah, great. Good for you. You won junior cups.
I'm from Europe.
Exactly.
What does that mean to me?
I played pretty incredible.
3 in a row.
Oh, it's crazy.
Those Kamloops teams were ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like Niedermeyer, Aginla, Tucker.
Shane Doan,
Nash. Like they were, the Kamloops Blazers were a dynasty for many years.
That absolutely.
That was Hitch and Donnie Hay.
Well, and Windsor had those teams going too, the Taylor Hall teams and Adam Henrique and Ryan Ellis and Cam Fowler. They were all on the team.
Crazy.
Think about that. Taylor Hall, Adam Henrique, Cam Fowler, Ryan Ellis, like all on the same junior team.
Impressive. Well, London. London is a team that kind of rinses people, but then you...
Yeah. But I'm saying like Windsor won back-to-back Memorial Cups. I don't think London's ever won back-to-back.
No.
But maybe in their history they have, but not recently.
They've always been very competitive in the OHL.
Generally, they find a way to be very competitive.
Find a way.
I don't know how, but they do. Great scouting. That's why the Hunters are running the operation.
Exactly.
Carlos Boozer coming up here in a moment. So the big news in the NFL today is that the NFL owners unanimously voted in a new anthem policy. And the policy is if players want to stay in the locker rooms, they can. But if they're on the field during the anthem, they have to stand. And the Players Association is going crazy over this because the PA wasn't involved in the conversations.
Right.
So
But the owners were, right?
Like, well, the owners were, and the owners made the call, and I guess it's within their jurisdiction to apply this rule. But I just think it's going to open up a bigger gong show here, because now you're going to get players that are going to take this as a challenge.
Yeah.
And
just gonna there's going to be some that are going to do it.
Absolutely.
I don't understand. Like, if you want to bring attention to something, is kneeling during the anthem, and there's a bunch of different angles to this, is it the players saying, this is the biggest platform for me to show my
solidarity?
Or can you not talk to kids in a school? Can you not?
I think it's a combination of both. I do think you should have an obligation. If you're going to protest during the anthem,
right,
based on a core issue, and let's not forget what that was. Kaepernick was protesting against police brutality against African Americans.
I know, but I guarantee you, Brian, there's some players that don't know what they're kneeling for. They're just kneeling to kneel and have the cameras on them.
Well, and that, I have no time or respect for that. If you're just doing it for the sake of doing it, but if you're doing it because you have a core issue that you're passionate about, and I'll say this about Kaepernick, like, he's donated money. By all accounts, he's shown up at schools, and he's shown up in conversations, and been willing to talk about that kind of stuff.
I guarantee you, if you asked after a Dallas Cowboys game last year, Jerry Jones, Jerry, why were you kneeling? He would say, I don't know.
Well, you know, no, I know why he was kneeling, because he wants it to go away, and they want to make money.
Right.
You know, like, that is a big part of the conversation today from the players, is that they're doing this because Trump jumped on it and went after them, and they're worried about the bottom line.
It is.
They don't want to piss people off.
It's a business. It's a business, and they want to sell their business. Where I think, regardless of what happens here, if people kneel or don't kneel, I think you have to, guys, players will be creative and circumvent and find another way to, you know, peacefully protest.
Right.
And so they should. Shine a light on it. Hopefully there is education.
Be genuine about it. Talk about it afterwards.
And I think this will be just one thing that kind of melts into the background.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think
it won't right away.
No,
it's
going to
be front and center.
It will, because now I think it's going to carry over another year. And the first player that does it, that becomes a big part of the conversation. Will the team fine him?
But
all that stuff.
I hope it shines a light on what's
actually should be talked about here.
Exactly.
All right, we've got two-time NBA All-Star, longtime member of the NBA. Now he's a member of the Ghost Ballers in the Big Three League. He's got a podcast out. He's a podcast guy.
Nice.
We love the podcast guys. Mm-hmm. Making his debut on the show, here's Carlos Boozer. What's happening, Carlos?
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Good to be on.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. I mean, like we said, you're into the podcast game. What's that all about?
Yeah, so me and one of my close friends, one of my best friends, Nate Robinson, started a podcast called the Hold That Podcast. You can get it on your Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast at. And we've been with Sports Illustrated for a little bit of a time now, but we're about to switch over, and I'll keep you guys detailed on that as that comes to fruition.
So is that something you always envisioned doing? Did you like, you know, interacting with the media and doing interviews throughout your career, or how did that come about?
It kind of came into my lap, you know. I felt like I always enjoyed talking to the media. Not all the time, you know, after losses. You know, I can be guys that's kind of tough after losses. But it was something I was always interested in, and then my agent, Gideon Cohen, shout out to my boy Gideon, brought it to the table. He was like, look, there's a Sports Illustrated wants to do a podcast with you. If you can find somebody. I'm like, oh, the guy is Nate, because we're both very opinionated. We're very passionate. You know, we definitely want to speak about certain things like being fathers, our NBA experiences, and also, you know, just trying to relate and give the viewers and the listeners out there a good perspective on what it's like to be an athlete on and off the court. So this platform is a great platform, and we talk about real life stuff that we went through as players and try to relate to the guys that are going through it now.
So with the real life stuff, do you go into the podcast and with kind of a list of topics, or is it you turn the microphone on and see where it takes you?
Yeah. We do it once a week right now. We have a list of topics that we go in about, but we also kind of flow. Like, we've had different guests on. We've had Michael Rappaport, who was an amazing interview. If you guys haven't interviewed him yet, he's very opinionated, big time Knicks fan, being from New York. We've had Rip Hamilton on, who's an NBA champion and also a college champion. So also, you know, one of those guys that is very opinionated as well. So. And we got more things coming. We've got Derek Fisher, a five-time NBA champ, playing with Kobe Bryant most of his career. So, but it's cool because, like, I may ask Nate a question, like, you know, what is it like to play against Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook, and what's the difference between the two players? Because we're both recently, you know, I just retired a year ago, and he's still going back and forth or either retiring or getting back in the NBA. So we're recently played against all of these guys. So these are all guys that are familiar, so we can break it down for you on what Steph's strengths are, what Russ's strengths are, and what difference between the two.
So you retire
just to give you an example. Yeah.
So you retire a year ago, probably got a bunch of cash. You got the podcast going. Why would you want to start playing sports again and playing basketball again? Tell me.
You know what it is? It's like this is my first love. I've been playing basketball since I was 4 years old. And even though I retired from the NBA, I still play ball with my homies all the time. I live in Miami, so we play pickup all the time down here in Miami. Obviously, my kids are in middle school now. My 25th graders, Cameron and Caden, just graduated from the fifth grade. They're going to start middle school next year. And my oldest son, Carmani, is already in the sixth grade, about to be in the seventh grade next year. So we're always playing pickup in the backyard anyway, working on drills. You know, my kids trying to beat me one-on-one all the time. So the love for the game has never left me. I just wanted to spend more time with my family and going through, you know, close that chapter of playing professionally and all the wear and tear and the grind of traveling and open up a whole new chapter in my life and do some TV stuff and bend you into venture out into some other interests that I have outside of basketball.
With longtime NBAer Carlos Boozer, you mentioned Steph Curry a moment ago. A lot of people are having different takes on the shimmy last night. I mean, in the third quarter, he was on fire, and he's shimmying up and down the court, and then he went cold in the fourth. I mean, you're kind of a hybrid guy, a bit of old school, a bit of new school. How do you feel about the Steph shimmy in general?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you live in the moment, right? You don't want to live too much in the past. You don't want to live too much in the future. You want to stay present. So in that moment, I mean, I know he's cooking. The last two games, he's been throwing in the third quarters. So, I mean, I like it. You know, I would like to see them, you know, if he's going to shimmy and showboat, but they went over there by 20 points or something like that. And then they went cold. But not just him, but the whole team went cold in the fourth quarter. They only had 12 points in the fourth quarter. And that's when Houston obviously made their run. Obviously, them not having Iguodala hurt a lot last night, especially defensively on James Harden and CP3. But also offensively, because he makes plays. He's like a Draymond Green where he can create for himself. But what he really does is create for other players. So him not being out there, I think, really hurt them down the stretch.
Are you starting to believe Houston can win this series?
I believe Houston can win game five if Andre Iguodala doesn't play. That being said, the Warriors, they really gave the game away. They should have won last night. They had such a huge lead going into the fourth quarter. And then, like you said, Steph got cold. KD kind of disappeared. I don't even think he got a shot attempt the last 3 minutes of the game. And I'm not sure if Klay is banged up or not banged up. I know he got a little banged up last night, but he really hasn't had a breakout game yet. I know you obviously want to credit Houston's defense on that front, but you got to think that he's due for a huge game at some point in this series.
You talk about personalities and, you know, Steph Curry in the moment. What about a guy like LaVar Ball? Is this somebody that you would welcome on your podcast? Is he good for the game of basketball?
I'll tell you what, I would like to interview him just to pick his brain a little bit. You know, as a father, I'm a father as well. My kids are younger than his. But it's interesting to me to get to the motivation and the background story about the way fathers raise their kids. And I would like to find out more about him. I'm being honest about this. I don't know him very well. I've never met him before. I've met Joe before at a Laker game when we retired Kobe's jersey a few months back. But I never got a chance to have a conversation with him. I would definitely welcome him on the podcast just to pick his brain and find out what makes him tick and what his motivation is. What's his end goal for his kids? And also, I wouldn't mind interviewing the kids to find out how they like the way their father is with them.
With longtime NBAer and co-host of the Hold That podcast with Nate Robinson, we're chatting with Carlos Boozer. You know LeBron. You knew him when he came into the league. You were in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, the greatness of LeBron has been on display for a number of years. And a couple of nights ago, he goes off for 44 points. No one even pays attention. I mean, he's smashing records every single game, and it doesn't even get brought up on the broadcast. I mean, do you feel like he's almost made it too normal? Like the greatness of LeBron, it's like we've just accepted it, and we don't amplify it enough anymore.
Yeah, wow. That's all I can say. I mean, if I had to put it all in one word, wow. This guy is literally carrying 12 to 14 grown-ass men on his back every single game to give his team a chance to win. And I'm not talking about lightly. I'm talking about 40-plus points, 10-plus rebounds, almost 10 assists. It was guys that make more shots to be over 10 assists. At the end of the day, like, he's literally carrying this team maybe he's two games away from carrying them into the finals, which, you know, he had to beat a very good Indiana team who I thought was maybe had a better roster than his roster. He had to go up against the Toronto team, as you guys know, which is the number one team in the league. I mean, number one team in the East and the second best record overall in the league this year. And maybe it's a matchup thing, but they're playing in the LeBron James era. And I mean that to say, you remember all those teams, the Knicks, the Miami Heat, the Indiana Pacers in the 90s when they couldn't get by Michael Jordan. Well, Toronto kind of fell into that same thing. Like, my Bulls team did too in Chicago. Well, we played in the LeBron James era, and I hate to say that because he was such a rival for us being with the Miami Heat, but, you know, we couldn't get past him. Obviously, Derrick Rose being hurt from the Heat, part of that for our Chicago Bulls team. But a lot of teams can't get to the finals because they're playing in the LeBron James era, who's two games away from going to his eighth finals appearance in a row in the modern day era, which is incredible to me. I just feel like he's getting a lot more notoriety for this because he's playing against a young, hungry Boston team who, even without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, looks to have the better roster. You know, those young guys, Tatum and Brown, have got great experience this year playing without those other stars and doing a great job at it. Rozier, who knew Rozier was this good?
I didn't know
because his playoff started. And then Al Horford looking like a young all-star, Al Horford from Atlanta, just carrying the load of being a great venture for that team. And obviously they're coached by, you know, who should be, the coach of the year, and Brad Stevens for getting his team to the conference finals and maybe the finals. They're also two games away from going to the finals without their two stars. You know, Kyrie Irving, who's a closer, NBA champion, multi all-star. And then Gordon Hayward, who was a big acquisition in free agency. Those two guys, they built this team around, and they haven't had Gordon Hayward since the six-minute mark of game one. And they didn't have Kyrie down the stretch of the regular season, and they're still in the conference final. So for him not to even get a vote for Coach of the Year is beyond me. But just to talk more about LeBron, it's very impressive. Year 15, carrying his team, and obviously, you know, 40 points a game, only to win by a little bit. It's clear that his roster isn't as good as it has been in years past. You know, when he's playing alongside like a Dwayne Wade, who's one of the top two. Playing alongside Kyrie Irving, who is by far one of the top five players in the league when he's healthy. He's not playing with those guys now, and he's still carrying his team. And again, possibly two games away from the finals. So
yeah, it's incredible
on what LeBron's been able to do.
He is Carlos Boozer. He's got a camp going. You can visit the website, carlosboozerbasketballcamp.com. He's got a podcast out with Nate Robinson. He's in the Big Three League. You get a lot on your plate, man.
Yeah, no, I love it, man. I'll be honest. I'd rather be busy now, but I can rest later. I'm still young. I'm 36, and I'm in my prime, bro.
All right, man.
Do you have to work out for the three league?
Listen, I just got done working out, so I got my workout done. That's my car. Stop telling me there's traffic ahead. I just got done working out. Had a BC workout with my trainer earlier today. His name is Marcel. He's a great, phenomenal trainer here in Miami. And then I had a basketball workout this morning right after my kids graduated from the fifth grade. So. Definitely got to get back in shape, and that way I can promise this show up there in Toronto come July.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, man. Thank you for doing this. We'll catch up again down the road.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there's Carlos Boozer.
You almost chewed the extra.
You know what? I started looking at his Twitter account, and I'm like, yeah. I probably should plug that, and I almost stopped.
2.1 million followers.
Yeah.
This guy.
Well, he's a long-time, really quality player.
Outstanding.
Got money in the bank, and still doing a lot of different things, and... We'll
friend
get him
show.
On again.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, for sure. Get Nate Robinson on, too.
It'd be nice to have both of them. Be
good. Maybe we'll do both of them at some point.
Simulcast podcast.
I like it. Bob McKenzie's coming up. He's got the Bob McKenzie podcast. We're just plugging everyone's podcast. Oh, the Bobcast. That's
the
right.
The Bobcast.
I'm thinking about doing a dog cast. Maybe if the guy's my son... Me and my son.
Last 2 weeks.
We got to remember that. The final segment today will be a breakdown of how we would determine whether or not you came across your legitimate son earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
At a restaurant downtown.
Woodbridge.
It was in Woodbridge. Yeah. So closer to King City.
Yeah.
Your hometown.
Grazie Vaughn.
Why were you up there?
I always go up there. I have meetings up there, different things.
There's a Grazia Young in Eglinton. Why don't you go there?
What are you laughing at?
Why would you go up meetings. To Woodbridge?
Yeah, I've got meetings up there.
Oh, yeah. So of all the people on this show, even the dummies in the back are laughing. I can't have meetings with people?
You can have meetings. Just the way you said it. It's like you're walking in with a briefcase.
Yeah, what kind of
I
shiny
did today.
Material?
I had my bag.
I know.
I saw my son.
There you go.
All right. We'll tell you more about that later. Game 7 tonight. We'll see what Bob McKenzie has to say about that. Brandon Pridham being announced as the new assistant GM here in Toronto. He gets promoted. See what Bob has to say about that, too. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Drive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.
Still bummed about that World Cup. You're telling me no games start at 4 Eastern time?
That's what I'm telling you.
A little earlier.
Who gets the benefit of that? I guess Andy Petrillo just not working for the whole World Cup.
I don't know about that. Like, I think Andy's going to be a part of, like, pregame and postgame and
stuff. Oh, she's actually working the World Cup?
Maybe I'm speaking out of school. I don't know.
Never know.
I know the World Cup is on TSN 1050, so we're going to have a bunch of games. I don't know if we're playing every single game, but...
Yeah, it kind of bleeds. I mean, for example... Croatia versus Nigeria on June 16th starts at 3 o'clock.
I'm pretty sure that won't be played.
Why?
Because I don't think it'll
be played. We're rights holders.
I don't know, dude. I this isn't my jurisdiction. Yeah, I have no idea what we're doing.
The latest games are at 2 o'clock. They'll be done by 4.
For all you Cameroon fans, I'll push to get that one on air.
That's the thing about the World Cup. Like, you get, you know, there's certain teams where you're like, well, we got to... see that, or we got to play that. Then there's some games where you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, does any, like, people are going to watch and diehards and all that kind of stuff, but.
That one's got to be on the radio.
Well, we're dealing with, like, Canada isn't in it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, all the other games, the latest starts at 2 o'clock.
Which is surprising to me, because Russia is how many hours ahead? Must be 6, I guess, maybe?
5 or 6, yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's prime time over there.
Yeah. That's what it is, 6 o'clock. So it could be 7. Either way, it's in that area.
All right. It's coming up quick,
I had
man.
A buddy FaceTime me from Moscow the other day. And actually, so it's 7 ahead because it was around 11 o'clock this time, and he was well-oiled at 6 a.m. in Moscow.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Late night for him.
Good for him. Yeah, you can get up to no good over there. That's what I hear.
Well, it's like anywhere.
Some really cool dynamics at bars.
Yeah. Moscow can get gritty. But it's like New York City, like LA. Cool. It's like these big cities.
Yeah.
Get in trouble anywhere.
Like, I don't really have any interest in going to Russia, but Moscow.
Moscow is a lot like New York.
Yeah.
It's New York.
Like the city I'll go to,
just
for sure.
Bigger. It's massive.
Huge. Huge. All right, the Hockey Insider brought to you by Financer. We got a Game 7 tonight. The Leafs made a hiring, or at least a promotion earlier today. Here's Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. How you doing, Bob?
Excellent, boys. How are you doing today?
We're doing pretty well. We were debating whether or not Barry Trotz is coaching for his life in Washington tonight. Do you see that being the case or no?
Yeah, maybe he is. Maybe he's already decided he's going to move on. There was all sorts of speculation earlier in the playoffs when he and John Tortorella were talking to each other at the end of the first round of the playoffs that people were reading Barry's lips and he was telling Torts, I'm gone. So, you know, whether he's... unemployed, whether he's a free agent, I don't think he really cares. And I think he's really utilized this whole thing in terms of the contract expiring, the history and the albatross that the Washington Capitol history has been in the playoffs. And he's kind of used it just as a, you know what? I don't care. I don't know. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference to me. And in fact, it was him when he said, you know, I don't think that it makes any difference to my future or anything else that goes with it. So, you know, he just doesn't seem to be too worried about the whole thing. And he coaches for your life. I mean, I think he just wants to win a game and get into the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, it is a pretty good time for your contract to come up. Right. You end up winning a Stanley Cup, I mean, that's jackpot time, right? You got to pay him a huge amount of money.
Yeah, and, you know, exactly. And but then the question becomes, you know, it's a two-way street. Do they want him back? You would assume yes. Does he want to come back? I don't know. You know, that's the thing about unemployment versus being a free agent, is you just never, you never know which way a coach wants to go, especially after the run that he's had for as long as that he's ever had it. And so, you know, it could be a situation where he may even be looking for greener pastures. And I mean, it sounds silly to say if you're on a team that might win the cup here, but he might also lose, and people will say, well, yeah, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. So,
what do you get the sense as far as heading into this game seven, Bob? Like, I mean, we were talking about it earlier. I think Tampa hasn't played their best, and I think Washington's been the better team. Do you have an inkling as to where you'd be leaning? I know you don't like predictions, but more who you've liked better in this series.
Well, you're right. I mean, you nailed it on the head. This shouldn't even be out of game seven. I mean, Washington's been that much better than Tampa. Tampa's been living and dining off of Vasilevsky's strong play in that, which is fine. He's part of the team. And the power play at times has rescued them in games that they had no business winning. So I don't know whether Tampa's going to snap out of whatever the funk they've been in, because they haven't looked very good and doesn't look at all like the team that beat Boston in the second round. And so are they going to snap out of it tonight and come with the high, hard heat with Vasilevsky on top of his game, Stamkos, Kucherov doing something 5-on-5, and the whole team kind of stepping up? Or is it going to be a case where the same old, and they have to live and die by the goaltender and try to steal a win against a Washington team that, quite honestly, hasn't really been fazed by anything in these playoffs? I mean, they were down two games to Columbus, won four straight. They faced their arch nemesis, the Pittsburgh Penguins, in the second round, and took care of business. And when a lot of people thought that they wouldn't, and here in this series, even after blowing a 2-0 lead, here we are in game seven. So I like the way Washington's played. I like their demeanor. I don't know whether they're going to win or not tonight, but based on the way they've played, I'd probably rather be them going into game seven than Tampa.
Well, there's a lot of talk about Ovi, Bob. It's just, you know, Ovi's legacy. Ovi's got to get to the cup finals. Another guy on the Tampa team, Stamkos, where I think he kind of values himself as one of those guys with Sid and Taze and Malkin, and just he wants this too, and he kind of would love to be in the final and win a cup and have that as part of his legacy too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, he's been to the final once before, unlike Ovi, but nevertheless, I think you're right. I think, who doesn't want to get to the cup final? Who doesn't want to win it? But it's funny, I was looking at Ovi's numbers today. I think a lot of the rap that Ovi's gotten over the years is kind of a bad rap for the most part, but with a little asterisk beside that, because in elimination games, and certainly the last three elimination games, Ovi's been in, he doesn't have a single point. And I think back to last year, game seven against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he was not good. He wasn't good at all. And the other guy, his arch nemesis, was good, and so were the Penguins, and that's why they won, and Washington didn't. And I know you can always, it cuts both ways. You can always find people that are going to run Ovi into the ground no matter what. And he's got some pretty remarkable playoff numbers in terms of his goals and points and what have you. And you can also find people to defend the hell out of him and say, look at his numbers overall, they're fantastic. And all I know is the last game seven I saw him play last year was against Pittsburgh, and I thought his game shrunk in game seven. And he can't shrink tonight. And to be honest, in fairness to him, and they have been in tough situations so far in the playoffs this year, his game is growing. And he hasn't shrunk at all. And he looks right on top of it, and good for him. And as I say, I don't have a rooting interest. I don't care one way or the other. But if he were to make it there, I would say good for him, because it's kind of overdue.
With Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. So the Maple Leafs promoted Brandon Pridham to assistant GM, and he has been the assistant to the general manager for the past 4 years, and capologist, a guy who worked with the CBA and is aware of all the numbers and
The Leafs, while announcing it and while promoting it on Twitter, they said he will continue to be, you know, in charge or at least a part of the program when it comes to contract negotiations, the CBA, and the salary cap. No mention of player personnel, talent evaluation. Yet, you know, conventional wisdom would suggest assistant GM would be in the ranks and would have, you know, at least 2 cents to contribute in terms of who to pick and who to sign and who to keep. What do you make of this promotion and what Pridham's role is actually going to be here?
Well, I think it's probably just a natural evolution of what he's been doing and just more of everything. And I think he's been a part of what's going on. And obviously when Lou Lamoriello was a general manager, I know he relied heavily on Brandon Pridham and Kyle Dubas has. And they had other quote-unquote hockey guys. Not to suggest that Brandon's not a hockey guy, but he came up through the sort of the salary side and was brought in from NHL Central Registry by Brendan Shanahan when Shanahan first started with the Leafs. But I think it's just a natural evolution to take on more. But I don't think he's going to – I'd be surprised, and I haven't spoken to him and I haven't talked to Kyle Dubas about it, but I'd be really surprised if you see him out scouting and beating the bushes all over junior rinks or college rinks or minor pro rinks. That's not to say that he couldn't, but I think it's just an ever-expanding role for him within the hierarchy, and I would expect there'll be more hires by the time it's all said and done, that with the departure of Lou, effectively replaced by Kyle. You know, Kyle, what was notable, I guess, unless I missed it, I didn't see the full release, but they didn't name Brandon the general manager of the Toronto Marlies, did
no.
they?
No mention of the Marlies.
Okay, so what I see is, first thing Kyle Dubas has got to do, aside from this in-house matter, he's got to hire his own replacement. He needs, you know, an assistant general manager who will oversee the Toronto Marlies. I would assume that he's going to continue to maintain the structure that they had before. So somebody would come in, and you know, there's been lots of speculation, and it's only speculation. I don't have any inside information on it, but people throwing Ronnie Francis's name around as a possibility. Of course, Kyle Dubas is from Sault Ste. Marie, and Francis also from Sault Ste. Marie. I think they know each other and what have you. And I'm sure there'll be more. I would suspect that Kyle Dubas will use the full resources available to him with the Toronto Maple Leafs. That is money. And there's no salary cap in the front office. And I would expect him to load it up, especially in the absence of Mark Hunter. Now, there's some speculation that Timmy Speltz, who's been on the staff for a while, might get an expanding role there. We'll see about that. But I would fully expect that there's probably a lot more hires to come in the Kyle Dubas regime as general manager of the Leafs.
Thank you, Bob. We'll do it later in the week.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
There's Bob McKenzie, the Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It.
I'm getting tired of talking about, like, front office stuff. Like, I want to deal with the games and transactions and signings.
It's starting to wind down the season, so we only have...
And, hey, congrats to everybody that's getting these jobs, but I...
Yeah, the meat and potatoes are who's going to be playing for the team.
But or
the
what draft, people actually do with that position.
And trades. Right.
Like, what kind of transactions can Kyle Dubas pull off? Can he...
He will.
You know, how's he going to improve the team? That's what I like getting into.
Yeah.
And then, do you think he's going to shock the world in the next month and a half?
Make a splash?
Define shock the world.
Sign Tavares, Carlson, or make a big trade? One of those three. You think one of those three will happen?
No.
Sign Tavares...
Either sign Tavares, sign John Carlson, or make a big trade.
You're talking John Carlson.
I'm talking John Carlson.
I think the Leafs could definitely be in on him.
You want to pay him that much? You know what John Carlson's going to get?
Probably eight.
He's going to get, it'll be a 7-year deal at...
Starting at seven.
Something with eight in it, probably. Because he's not the only other right-handed defenseman out there, if I'm just thinking. There's guys like Mike Green. And Mike Green I think he'll be a second or third option far down on people's list. But you know, Carlson's an American guy, and I know there's some ties here and stuff. But like, certainly it's not out of the realm of possibility. But it's just this is where Brandon Pridham. There you go.
Work
the numbers,
out the deal.
Because that's going to be a massive contract.
He could still stay in Washington too, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's not forget about that. They may find the money and they'll try to get rid of somebody else.
But we are seeing, I mean, Evander Kane, by all accounts, mm-hmm. you know.
7 years, I think, at like $7 million.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, that's a lot of money. It's a big commitment. He played really well for them.
Yeah, it seems to be a fit. Maybe it'll work. I don't know.
Scored 30 goals one time in his career.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Unrestricted free agent. A lot. That's the thing. It's, money is thrown around.
Yeah, it happens. All right, so we're going to do the O-Dog DNA test.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't heard the audio. I just saw it come in. That idiot from upstate New York who his parents are suing him. Yeah, this goon
that
by the name of...
That guy's such a loser.
What's his name here? Michael Rotondo. He's a 30-year-old who still lives with his parents. His parents have been trying to get him out of the house forever. They went to court to evict him.
Yeah.
And now he's doing the media tour. He was on CNN earlier this afternoon.
Saying what?
Well, I guess the audio is like cringeworthy, so we might play some of that.
Oh, I'd love to hear this dope.
Yeah. Imagine being 30 and fighting in court to stay in your parents' house.
Mom, the meatloaf.
Oh,
I've seen a family relative, a real estate deal, propose buyer. We think we're going to buy it, but we have to check with our kids who still live with us if we're okay selling. It's just like, what?
And I know
20-something-year-old kids.
Some different cultures have a different
some
routine.
Cultures,
I get it. But
I've already had this chat with Steph. Like, no, kids, bye-bye. Certain age.
Oh, you think your kids are going to want to live with you when they're 30?
It's different for all three of us.
There's no way. My daughter will be out of there.
I played in the CHL and we left home. But I'm pretty sure, like my parents loved us to death. But I'm pretty sure that, like, 2021, they wanted us out.
Yes. You're right. I mean, we all left home. Like, we all did it. We all left when we were, like, you were 16.
Yeah, 16.
I was 17 when I left. And I went back.
Didn't you feel like when you came back from junior, it was like, okay.
It's a bit different.
Kind of don't fit in.
Enjoy yourself
when you're out
staying too long.
Because life goes on without you.
Exactly.
You get back, you're like, oh, that's a new couch. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, there's an exercise bike in my old bedroom.
What kind of message are you sending me?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so O-Dog's DNA test and this idiot that was on CNN. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Big night in the sports world. We got Tampa, Washington, Game 7. The Cavs are in Boston for Game 5. And Jays playing Game 2 of their series against the Angels. Aaron Sanchez on the mound.
I'm going to have the TV monitors on lockdown tonight.
It's going to be outstanding.
Yeah.
And I would guess CNN will be replaying their exclusive interview with Michael Rotondo, the 30-year-old man from upstate New York who's battling his parents.
He's a deadbeat.
This guy's 30. He doesn't have a gig. We got a clip here about how he's working on getting a job, but he doesn't have a job. He doesn't have any money. He's 30. He won't do anything around the house. And his parents are like, can you please get out of here? You're 30. And they took him to court. And the judge was like, yeah, you're 30. Get out.
Yeah.
You got to leave, man.
I can't imagine. Like the parents, what I would do is I'd bleed this guy out. Like no money, no food. Cut the internet off and cable and stuff.
Oh, man, you know that. Like, for this guy, you know he's a video game guy.
Exactly.
Very simple. When he leaves the house, you change the locks, and it's over, out. Throw his crap at the front of the road.
He is your son.
That's
though.
The
you
problem,
love him,
man.
But,
like,
I mean, at some point, you got to... This is the thing. There was no tough love involved with this kid. Not saying, like, hitting or anything like that, but this guy did not know the value of...
Yeah. The gavel was never laid
this
down.
This guy had too easy of a path.
Which may have been the case with O-Dog's illegitimate son that we believe he came across earlier today at a restaurant up in Woodbridge. So do you want to revisit the story? You're out for lunch. And
this guy with a beard came up to me and he's like, you know, I enjoy watching your hockey career and you dated my mom. And I'm like, pardon me? There was someone else sitting beside me and he was in disbelief as well. And he left, and I looked at him, and I was thinking, could that guy be serious? And he was dead serious. And so I wanted to say to him, like, can I see a pic of your mom? But who says that?
What show is that? Is it Meet the Fockers? Where he thinks that young, like the 15-year-old, Ben Stiller thinks that the guy who kind of looks like him is his son.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
You have to. It's one of those, like, it's either the second one or whatever. It could be. You never know. Because if you were 22 and dated somebody who was 30,
Was she a cougar? Like, you can't
Dude,
remember.
I don't even remember her.
You didn't
Do you
ask
know what
name?
I was up to when I was 20 or 22 years
How
old?
How did you find out that you were 22, though?
That's what he said. It's just, he was like, it was way back when there was a place called Rocky Mountain High or something on Highway 7. You ever go there?
Yeah, I remember that place.
Just an old school snow leopard hangout.
Oh, it was all snow leopards.
I think that's what it was called, Rocky Mountain High.
I remember that spot.
Just great, it was rocking on a Wednesday
always,
night.
Always. I went up there one time and we had a great time up there.
So it's legit. It's possible that there's...
Okay.
I knew it was trouble when he said it was at Rocky Mountain High. I'm like,
I've been right. there a few times.
So
it's
let's
my
go,
son, basically.
Let's go over a couple of traits that this young chap may have that would indicate that he could be your kid.
I've got one.
Okay.
If you went out to the parking lot and said, "Can you pop your trunk, please?" And if the trunk was just full of, like,
so if this trunk was a dumpster, you would say, that's your son.
Well, there's one trait that is passed down from father to son.
That would be hereditary.
Yeah, for sure.
If you were watching him, if he was in, like, if he had a round table, and there's a big conversation going on, and then out of nowhere for 5 minutes, he just dazed and looked to the sky like a baby monkey.
He goes, baby monkey.
That's your kid. Like, if he goes baby monkey, he's your guy.
I
like,
guess
halfway
so.
Through the conversation, you're talking to him, and you ask him about his mother, and he's not listening to you.
Right.
So attention span is
I think attention span, a crazy trunk. If he's sitting there having a conversation, and someone at the next table mentions the name Brandy Love, and his neck breaks, that's probably your kid.
If he's wearing a wristband... You know, if you have diabetes or whatever, you wear those wristbands. If his just says, clean my browser.
Clean my search history.
Right.
Exactly.
If he just hates John Ferguson Jr. Like, for no reason
just
whatsoever.
Just out of nowhere.
It's just instinctual. Like, he just, everything about JFJ bothers him.
Like, if somebody,
that's your guy.
Somebody in the restaurant said, I can't confirm or deny, and he has...
Imagine he threw one of those at me, twitch. I can't confirm or deny.
Wow. That I'm your kid. I can't confirm or deny that I'm your offspring.
Here's one for you.
Rocky
he walks
Mountain
up and
High.
Has just a tiny little dog in his hand.
Gracie the dog.
Gracie's back from vacay today.
Did you miss her?
I did. She stayed up in Collingwood at the chalet with the neighbors.
What a life that little Gracie's got, huh?
World traveler.
Yep, she sure is.
We're going to get back into Gracie tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Right after I do my best bets, brought to you by Proline. I'm on Washington because they're paying 220 tonight and a tie in the Cleveland-Boston game. Throw down 20, you can score 92. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game. Now you can do your spiel.
We're back tomorrow to break everything down, including my possible son, at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.